بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to tonight's webinar. This is Muhammad al-Sharif. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll start off. I wanted to mention a story, actually a hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once with Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said to him a very famous hadith, and it was his advice to Abdullah ibn Umar, who was a young man at that time. He said to him, grabbing his shoulders, "Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw 'abidu sabil." He said, "Be in this life as if you are a stranger or a traveler." Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw 'abidu sabil. So what does that mean to be a stranger or a traveler? Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to explain this to his students. What does it mean to be a stranger, a traveler? He said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. He said, if you find yourself in the morning, then don't look forward or don't expect the night to come. And if you find yourself in the night, don't expect the morning to come. Don't wait for it. Meaning that take advantage of this moment that you have. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would continue and he'd say to take advantage of your health before you fall sick and take advantage of your life before you die, i.e. seize the moment. I want to say Jazakumullah khairan for all of you for attending this. The reason that I chose this topic of time, is because it's so painful to hear whenever there's, you know, some good happening or some nice event taking place or whatever it is, you'll see that the number one excuse, what I call the granddaddy of all excuses, is that people automatically say, "I just don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time." But that statement is so painful to hear, because when somebody says that, it basically means, you know, this is the analogy that I give for somebody who makes an excuse like that of, "I just don't have time." The analogy to me is somebody who's standing at a train station, who's waiting for a train to come, and this train is going to take them to some exotic, beautiful destination. They're going to see things that their eyes have never seen before. They're going to hear things that their ears have never, they're going to experience life. But when someone says, "I just don't have time," to me, that person, the doors of this train have opened and the person is being beckoned to come and take this journey of life, and the person instead holds back. And that person procrastinates and delays and says, "I just don't have time." And so life isn't going to wait for us. The train doors close and it moves forward. And every day this train is moving forward and the person is still left there at the train station with the same life, with the same habits, with the same routines, and nothing's changed in their life because they haven't seized that moment. They haven't gone on. And so the first excuse has to be, in order to live your life, in order to move forward, in order to be a leader, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in," every one of you is a shepherd. In order to be a shepherd, in order to be a leader, you've got to master your time. Right? You can't be leading amazing da'wah projects. You can't be leaving a legacy if you're running after, you know, the small stuff and you can't handle it. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take care of it tonight, bi'ithnillah. A wise man once said that strange is he who has the material world walking away from him and the hereafter walking towards him. How can he busy himself with what is leaving him and turn his back to that which is coming towards him? In other words, we busy ourselves with, you know, you can imagine the person who's sitting at a computer, tappity-tap, tappity-tap, checking this and checking that, stuff that makes no difference whether they check it or not or whether they see it, yet they've busied themselves with this dunya even though death is knocking at their door. In other words, death is just, you know, a day or two away from this person. They've busied themselves with the past, yet they've turned their back on what the future is holding, and this is a moment to seize those good deeds, that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. I'm often asked, you know, "Muhammad, how are you able to manage so many projects at the same time? How do you find time?" is the big question that I get asked. And in my life, I have,
you know, in addition to my ibadah, family, the health, the travels that I do, Al-Maghrib Institute, Discover You, and all of those things, actually, when somebody says, Muhammad, you're so busy, I'm actually not busy at all. I'm not. I'm actually quite bored. Sometimes I get even sad because I'm thinking to myself, you know, what am I going to do today? Because even though all of those things are on my plate, I found a way to take care of it. I found a way to deal with it. So what I call pancake, I take all that stuff and I pancake it so it takes very little time. Now you've been wondering, how can you take so many things and pancake it so it takes very little time? Inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to give you some glimpses of some of those techniques that I personally use in my own life, inshallah ta'ala. I found it to be beneficial, and I would wish to share it with you, inshallah ta'ala. This also, with this webinar, coincides with the launching of a seminar that I did. It was originally called Live Your Dreams, but it is the Time Traveler seminar series. We recorded it in video, and it's available for you, inshallah ta'ala. And we've released that for those who wish to own it. One of the main things that you're going to learn from the Time Traveler series, for those who wish to take it to the next level, is that you'll learn step by step not only how to manage your time, but firstly, it's a three-step process. Firstly, you've got to dump what's already in your mind, because you can't manage junk. Right? You've got to clear out your mind, flush it out. That's number one. Secondly, you've got to, you know, in addition to deleting all this distractions and so on, you've got to manage what you already have. Because I've seen so many people, once they start thinking about big goals and big dreams, their current time problems come rushing back to them. They feel, you know, depressed, and they're like, well, how can I achieve these big goals and big dreams when I can't even, you know, for example, get to work on time, or I can't even do this or that. They get crushed by those time things. So the first thing is, you got to clean it out. Secondly, you've got to find a way to manage your own life now. And then thirdly, you've got to paint a vision for what you want life to be, right? You've got to paint that vision so that you can be in charge of what's taking place day by day, inshallah ta'ala. All right? So we're here right in the beginning of this lecture tonight, and I wanted to give you 10 quick tips, right? 10 quick tips. I don't know if you're going to be with me towards the end of this or not, but I wanted you to get maximum benefit right from the very beginning, inshallah ta'ala. All right? Are you ready? Number one tip. You want to aim higher every single day. Aim higher than what you're currently doing. So in other words, if you, it's like lifting a weight. If you keep lifting the same weight, you will never get stronger. You're never going to achieve anything. You have to systematically increase the weight in order to build muscle. So every day that you go into it, when you wake up in the morning, even ask yourself this morning, did you make an intention this morning to achieve something great? And my guess is, no, you did not, right? Because that's just the way. We wake up and we kind of like let life just pass us by. It's habit. What I'm telling you is that every day you pray Fajr, you make your intention that, you know what, if yesterday I aimed for this, then today I'm going to aim for, you know, just a little bit more. But each day you keep aiming higher, higher, and pushing yourself further and further. So you've got to aim higher. That's number one. Number two is, you've got to get things off of your mind immediately. When something comes to your mind, it might be like a check that you have to pay. It might be something that you need to pick up, or something, email that you need to send. As soon as something hits your mind, you need to get it off of your mind immediately. One of the things that I do is I keep a notepad, my journal, right beside me, right beside my computer when I'm working, so that as soon as a thought comes to my mind, I already got the thought. I don't need to think of it 25 times. I already understand. So I write it down. And as soon as my mind starts thinking, well, what if I forget? I'm like, no, it's right there on the right side. And whenever I need to organize it later, it's right there. So you want to get things, small stuff, off of your mind so that you can use your mind, which is prime real estate, for the bigger things. When I say prime real estate, I was once walking by Niagara Falls. And at Niagara Falls, I wondered, you know, the piece of land that's right beside Niagara Falls, what would you build on it? Would you build a hotel? Or would you build an ice cream shop? Or would you build, you know, it's such important piece of land because of its proximity to Niagara Falls. I thought to myself, my brain and your brain is more valuable than that land. So what are you planting on your brain? What are you building? What type of real estate is in your brain? Right? That's what I mean by prime real estate. What are you building in your brain? Are you just, you know, like Twitter messages that you follow every day? Are you just like just reading just newspapers and stuff like that? Or even reading junk? This is prime real estate. You've got to ingest into your brain the best of information. So things like phone numbers. Do you need to build phone numbers in your brain? No, you don't. Just write it down. Do you need to, like, appointments that you need to be? You don't have to put in your brain. For your brain, your creativity should be there. Your vision should be there. Your focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua and doing dhikr. That's what should be planted on your brain, inshallah ta'ala. So that's number two, getting things off your mind immediately. Number three, you want to write things down in places where you'll come across it once again. What that means is you want to write it down in a place where you'll come across it once again. Without you having to manually remember it. So let me give you this example. If I have an idea, or sorry, let's suppose there's a phone number that I need to recall at some point, somebody that I need to phone. Where should I put that phone number or that person that I need to phone? Should I put it in a vault in a bank that I only check like once a year? Or should I put it, and a beautiful example of this is, let's suppose you're going to work in the morning or you're going to school in the morning and you have to take a certain book with you to school or a certain book with you to work. Where is the best place? Once you remember this and you want to take it off your mind, what should you do? This is my suggestion. Some of you might already be doing this. You just need to apply this to other aspects of your life. Take the book and put it by the crack opening of the door. In other words, you can't open the door in the morning unless you look, you know, that you come across this book one more time. You open up the door and you're like, oh, this is the book that I need to take. So that being the case, you can let your mind forget about the book that it needs to take the next day and you can focus on important things. So number three is writing things down in places where you'll come across it once again. Number four, to pray Fajr at the masjid. Pray Fajr in the masjid. The reason that I mention this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, "Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha." Oh Allah, bless my ummah in their mornings. And so it's something, when you experience it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. That when a person wakes up for Fajr and starts their day from there, there's so much barakah, there's so much blessing, there's so many things that you can do, inshallah ta'ala. And actually, when it comes to the hours, I'm going to talk about it later, but you'll get probably half of your life back just by staying awake after Fajr, inshallah ta'ala. But we'll come to it, inshallah ta'ala, later. Number five, you want to oxygenate your blood. You need to get oxygen into your blood. In other words, you need to start going for a walk, breathing. And that happens, by the way, if you just go for Fajr, this will take place. But that might be a little exercise in the morning, get your body and legs moving. Once you start getting oxygen into your body, you start becoming more alert. As opposed to the people that kind of think that energy comes from coffee, which it doesn't. That's just kind of like shocking your body with like sugars and poisons. But if you did take this oxygen break, where you just said, you know what, I'm just going to go out and breathe, inshallah ta'ala, you'll find more barakah in your time and your focus. Number six, pre-choose your next break and when it will be and write it down. What I mean by that is, let's suppose you started working at work or you're studying something and so on. Let's suppose you're reading a book or studying for exam. Take like an hour to, and then write down. So let's suppose the time is, you know, 4:21. Suppose the time is 4:21, and then you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to study for an hour. Then in your little journal right beside you, you write down 5:21 is when my break is. So you let your mind forget. You get absorbed. Every time you want to become distracted by something else, you just say, you know what, I'm not allowed to be distracted until 5:21. That's my distraction time. And so because you have it written down, you look at the clock, and you just, you know, religiously you just follow that. I'm not going to get distracted until this time comes. And then when 5:21 comes along, then you give yourself, you know, a 10-15 minute break where you just totally, you know, have fun, take your 10-minute break, enjoy yourself, and then come back and then do the same thing again, another hour where you're working on something. So pre-choose when your next break will be and write it down. Number 7, you need to delete distractions in your life. I'm saying delete it. I'm not saying stay away from it. I'm saying delete it. Don't even come near it. In other words, if you have a TV, I know this is kind of intense, but I would actually recommend that you don't have a TV in your house. If you have internet access in your home, and I know this is even pushing it too, maybe even, you know, keep your internet access for at work or find places where there is no access to the internet. Sometimes you might have a game on your phone that's taking up a lot of time. You know, in a moment of, you know, seriousness, just take that game and delete it. It's not even on your phone anymore. Or whatever it is that's distracting you, it could be a person as well. Maybe you need to take them off of your Messenger or whatever it is. And by the way, but all those chat programs, I don't even come near it. If it's important enough to talk about it, then just pick up the phone and speak what you need to speak to the person. Okay, so delete the distractions. With everything that I just mentioned, I know TV has benefits. I know internet has benefits. I know all this stuff and so on and so forth. But if you use it in specific places and don't have access to it outside of those places, inshallah ta'ala, it will become your slave rather than it becoming your master, bi'idhnillah. All right, so deleting distractions. Number 8, never multitask. Never multitask. Instead, you want to focus on what's at hand. So instead of multitasking where a chat program is open and you're doing some work and you're listening to something and you're trying to do 3 or 4 things at the exact same time, it doesn't work like that. What you need to do, like I said, if you have an hour where you're focused on your work, and then if you want to chat with someone, then do that in your 10-minute break after your one-hour chat. Everything focused so that there's no multitasking. Sometimes if someone comes to me and says, you know, Muhammad, can I speak to you? And there's something that I'm currently busy with, I'll tell them I need you to just hold on for a second. Just give me, you know, 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Let me just finish this so I can give you my full attention. All right, and they understand. You just be truthful. Finish what you need to do. Turn away from the computer or turn away from the distraction and just look them in the eye and say, yes, what would you like? And sometimes even maybe the person you're speaking with might be, you know, they're wasting time or they're just chit-chatting. I might even start off and say, you know what the time is? 4:24 right now. I can give you 10 minutes. You know, this conversation is going to end at 4:34. So they know exactly they have to make their point right from, you know, within that time limit, inshallah ta'ala. Getting very clear and very specific and very focused, you'll be able to get a lot done. So number 8, never multitask. Number 9, you want to start on the right foot, okay? So when you enter the masjid, for example, start with the right foot, or you enter your house, or, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to the masjid when he'd first arrived back from a journey, things like that. You see in Islam that we're taught to start with in the name of Allah, bismillah, and so on. I'm telling you, when you start your day, start with the important things so that your day can go right. So in other words, if you go to work in the morning or you go to school in the morning and you start off by checking your email and checking, you know, the messages, the social messages from your friends and so on, then chances are that foot that you've started your day with will continue throughout your entire day. You'll just be chatting with people and so on. But what if before you contacted anybody, before you checked any emails or anything like that, you started off with the most important task that you need to get done for the day? So maybe, you know, there's an application you need to fill out and send out. Maybe there's something important, right? Something that you need to get, that needs to get done. Start your day with those things. And what you'll find is if you start with that, you'll get fulfillment. And then before, you know, then you'll go, you know, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours later to chat with your friends and you realize that your friends are so boring. And then you'll want to go and achieve some more things. Because you've started on the right foot, you're going to keep creating that momentum. That's something that I do when I'm in the zone day after day. I'll start the day off with, what do I want to achieve, and start the day with that. Start the day with that. So that's number 9, starting on the right foot. Number 10 is getting a mentor, or in this case, let's say a life coach. The reason that I bring that up is because when we're little kids, our parents are the ones who are holding us accountable when we start, you know, goofing off and wasting time and so on. You know, your parents will say, shut that book and go back to studies, or shut that computer game, go back to studies. And, you know, did you pray your salah? You know, you had your parents there. Now, as you get older and your parents are kind of like, they're not there telling you what to do, and you kind of like have to take responsibility of that, one of the best things to do is get a mentor or a life coach or somebody that basically is there to make sure you got your tasks done. I have a life coach. It's what I recommend. And so a week will pass by. I have some tasks that I need to get done. Life coach is going to call, and or I'm going to call the life coach on a specific day, and I'm going to be held accountable for these things. You know, if you don't have a life coach, where is that accountability coming from? And when you do have that accountability, mashallah, tabarakallah, you can get so many things accomplished in a very short time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's number 10, that is getting a mentor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, بَعْدَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. I want you to imagine, as you know in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ, by the time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that the human being is at loss or is in loss. I want you to imagine like a person who sells ice in some villages around the world. Now, alhamdulillah, I know there's refrigerators and trucks that have refrigerators in it, but only that's a recent development. In the olden days, if someone made ice and they wanted to sell it, they would have to take the ice from the storage, go out into the village, and they only have a certain number of hours before the ice melts. Imagine if you can hold out your hands right now, almost like you're making dua, hold out your hands and imagine that there's this big cube of ice in your hand. And I know it's kind of like prickly and it's cold, and you may be, you know, leaning it from one hand to the other. That ice that's in your hand is representative of your life, okay? You need to take advantage of it, but if you did nothing, by the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up our lives, that you are a loser. Automatically, you're at loss, because the ice is going to melt one way or the other. In your life is going to pass by, whether you want it to or not, just like this ice is melting. Now, you can take advantage of it. Take advantage of the ice. I don't know, use it for a nice drink or something like that. While you have it, use it to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you have it, because in a few hours, that ice is going to melt and you will be dead. Your life will be over. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that he's like a traveler. He's a traveler, traveling for a portion of the day, and then he took some shade under a tree for a little while and then moved on. Similarly, in our lives, what we're doing here in this life is not a destination. We're just passing by. Just like people before us have passed by, and people after us will come along and will be gone after that. Other people will walk this earth. In a hadith narrated by Tirmidhi, in an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the 2 feet of the servant will not cease from standing before Allah on the day of judgment until he is asked about 4 things. So what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is that nobody's going to leave the questioning. Nobody's going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the questioning will not end until these 4 questions come up. You ask, what are those 4 questions? Number 1, عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِيمَا أَثْنَى. And number 2, وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى. And number 3, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ. And number four, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said that these are the four questions that a person will be asked about. Number, the first one being that the person will be asked about their life and how they spent it. What did you do in your life? That's the question. How did you spend your life? The second question that every servant will be asked is your youth. How did you exhaust it? What did you do in your youth? How was it spent? Because even for our young brothers and sisters, we're talking about time, we're talking about leaving a legacy and so on. And a person might be saying to themselves, hey, I'm still young. You know what, I can do all that serious stuff, quote-unquote serious stuff, when I get older. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, what did we exhaust our youth with? You know, some people may have spent their youth worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and others would have just been playing around. And we're not even talking about the haram stuff. The haram stuff, that's a different league. But just distraction. Person playing video games and watching TV and all of that stuff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about that time. So next time we're just lounging around, wasting time, I want you to look at the clock, just like I look at the clock, and imagine that there's a question above the clock that says, what have you achieved with me today? In these moments that are ticking, what have you done? And you will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we want to spend this time so that we have an excuse, a word. I was once reading like a biography of a sheikh who's very active on the internet, very, very active. And this person, the sheikh was answering a question about, you know, how people spend their time in distractions, you know, playing cards and you know, things like that. And I know the sheikh, he's done so much, mashallah, tabarakallah. He made a statement in which he said that, you know, every night you should come back to your bed so exhausted that as soon as your head hits the pillow, you're fast asleep. And you should become like that, spending your time with the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling to Allah's way, doing beneficial things for your dunya and your akhirah, so that every night you go to bed, you should not be sitting awake in your bed because you haven't tired yourself out. It's like, spend your time, don't let it go wasted like that. And mashallah, tabarakallah, the sheikh has achieved a lot. And similarly, there's so much more we could be doing in our time. And it just starts with a good intention, inshallah ta'ala. The last of those two things were that a person will be asked about their knowledge and what they did with it, and their wealth, how they earned it, and how they spent it. Let me ask you this. Are you serious about your time and how it's spent? Does it really, really concern you? So if someone comes along and wants to waste your time and says, hey, let's waste time, i.e. let's chat on the internet for something, does that concern you? Does that bother you? And then secondly, is that, let's suppose it does concern you and you do wish to change things around. You're asking me, what are some beneficial steps that I can take to start off on this journey? Because a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one first step. I'm going to tell you right now that those first steps are, number one, that you need to make a good intention. A good intention to master your time. A niyyah. Because everything starts with the niyyah. You have to first make intention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I've made the intention to master my time so that there's more time for your ibadah, there's more time to memorize Quran, there's more time for my family, there's more time for myself, there's more time for my studies, so that I can, there can be barakah in my time, there can be this blessing where I can achieve so much in my day. Inshallah ta'ala, it starts with a niyyah, an intention, and then secondly, the second step that I'd recommend you take, these are the first two steps, is that you should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua. Because with the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything becomes easy after that. Stop trying to make it your effort. And instead, place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens avenues for you so you can start to take your time seriously. Because indeed, you're nothing more than your hours and minutes. That is who you are. And now, where do you go if you seriously want to make a shift in your life? I know a lot of times when it comes to taking care of ourselves and developing ourselves, we kind of just take a quick tip here and a quick tip there. But if you're serious about your life, there are certain aspects of every person's life that they have to master. They can't just be good at it. They have to master it. And there's no doubt that you cannot be a world leader if you don't know how to master your time, right? It just can't happen. That's like the top of the list, is that you need to learn how to master your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the human being will have nothing more than that which they have aimed for, or that which they have traveled for. And for every journey that you've taken, you will find what you journeyed for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you haven't made the intention, you're not making the niyyah for something, for ihsan, for excellence in your life, you're not going to arrive at excellence. This is what I tell people, that if you want an outstanding life, it will not happen by accident. It will not. If you've ever told someone that there's only one God, and they're like, prove it to me, there's only one God, you will say, look at the perfection on earth. Look at perfection on earth. That shows that there's an intelligence behind this. Because perfection never comes from accident. That's what you tell someone in order to explain to them that there's only one God. Now, I'm telling you that apply that to your life and say to yourself that your life cannot become excellent without intelligence. You can't expect to wake up and accidentally stumble upon an amazing, outstanding life. It doesn't happen like that. Now, sure, we go to university and we study chemistry and we study physics and we study engineering and we study accounting. We study all of that stuff, but where do we study how to manage our lives? And so many mothers will be asking, how do I manage my time with my kids? They've never studied how to manage their time. Someone also say, I keep procrastinating things. How do I manage my time? They've never studied it. Nobody's taught it to them. Have you ever taken out the time to master this? And I'm not talking about just listening to a lecture, but actually sitting out and planning it out and detailing it out and having a system. And if the system works or it doesn't work, you keep adjusting until you get the system that works for you, inshallah ta'ala. I found some interesting statistics about how long people spend on different things in their life. And I'd like to share it with you because it, you know, if this was like a day in our, you know, if our life was like summed up into one day. Anyway, the average person in their life is going to spend 27 years sleeping. That's 30 years, almost 30 years of your life. And the average life is spent sleeping. So the person is just dreaming for like half their life. Number two is that going to work, about 10 and a half years will be spent at work, going to work. And that's why one of the number one things, you know, in the Time Traveler series, and you might have seen the video, I said that if you're going to spend 10.5 years at work, what is the point of having a job where you don't even love what you're doing? You're going to be spending a decade of your life there. So it might as well be something that you love so much and you have, you know, so much enjoyment fulfilling your life's destiny in your work. So that's critical to getting a job that you love, because you're going to be spending a decade of your life at your job, inshallah ta'ala. The next thing is, most people spend 10 years of their life watching TV. I don't think anybody comes to the end of their life and says, man, I wish I had watched more TV in my life. You know, you can watch or you don't watch it, it brings no benefit, right? In fact, when people are really tired, they can still watch TV, but they can't read a book, a very, you know, detailed, knowledgeable book. Why? Because TV doesn't stimulate the brain at all. It doesn't. That's why you can be so tired and you can still watch TV. So altogether, between sleeping, working, and watching TV, we're at 47.5 years. Then you've got internet, and I think internet's even going to increase in the future. 6 years of your life will be spent on the internet. Some of the other things, you'll spend about 4 years eating. You'll spend about 4 years standing in line, as they say in the UK, standing in the queue or lining up for the queue. And altogether, that comes out to like 63.5 years. Then you spend 3 years driving. And for the men, they'll spend 3 years in the bathroom. For women, it's only like 6 months. There's a cool quote. You can check it out on my Facebook page, inshallah ta'ala. Women tend to spend less time in the bathroom for some reason. And then you've got household chores, cooking, talking on the phone, daydreaming. Here are some tips. If I can give you, just if you understand what I'm telling you right now, I'll give you 30 years of your life back right here, right now. All right? Here's 10 years for you. Make your job your life mission. Make your job your life mission. In other words, don't try to work somewhere that you hate and then say, you know, in my spare time, I'll live my life. I'm telling you, go to your work and make that your, you know, your life mission. If that's the case, that gives you 10 years right then and there. Secondly is, if you take out TV, if you choose to make that your lifestyle choice, where you're like, I don't have a TV, that'll give you 10 years of your life. Right there, you've got 20 years, two decades. And I'll give you another one that you won't find in the non-Muslim books and so on, but if you wake up for Fajr and you make it your habit to start your day after Fajr every day, it will give you another 10 years of your life, 8.3 years, and that'll be shaved away from all the sleeping years, right, that happen. That's 30 years altogether. Stay up after Fajr, be awake for like 4 hours, altogether in a span of a lifetime, you've got, boom, another 10 years right there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Alright, the top five tips for managing your time. Number one is that you must clean your brain out before you start anything, okay? You must clean your brain out. You can't try to change your life when you've already got junk in your brain. You might have heard me say this before, but it's so fundamental that it has to be repeated again and again. You've got to get the junk off of your brain, put it down on paper. Number two, you have to focus on what's most important to you and delete the fluff in your life. You have to focus on what's most important. Okay, that means that there might be some good things in your life, and you've got to say, you know what, I'm not even focused on these good things because I want the best. I want the outstanding stuff. And you got to focus on that, and you got to let go of the small stuff. Number three, that big dreams require delegation. Okay, if you have a big dream and you want to achieve some amazing things, it's not going to happen by yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make us that, you know, we could achieve everything all by ourselves. And if that was the case, you'd have all these, you know, world leaders just living on their own islands and stuff like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us with strengths and with weaknesses. And the ecosystem of life is that if big things are going to happen, then it needs to be done in teamwork. And so you have to master the art of delegation, master the art of dealing with other human beings. Number four is that you can't get anywhere in life if you don't know where you're going first. You can't get anywhere in life until you know where you're going first. So before you start going somewhere, you need to figure out, well, where is it exactly that I want to go? What am I trying to achieve? What am I trying to do? And number five is that excellence or ihsan is never the result of accident. It's never going, you're never going to accidentally stumble upon mastering your time and so on. You have to have a plan to do it. So you make your niyyah, your intention right now to master your time, and you never forget that Allah's aid is only a dua away. I'm going to take some question and answer right now, inshallah, giving you kind of like a mental break. If some of you guys want to check out the Time Traveler series, you're welcome to do that. All right. One moment. Okay, so a sister from San Diego is saying, when should you go to bed if you stay awake after Fajr? One of the cool things about this is that if you wake up after Fajr, you're going to have a super long day. You're going to have a super long day, and about at Isha time, let's suppose 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you'll start to feel tired. You'll get into that zone where you kind of like feel exhausted, and you want to, like, go to sleep. And it's going to be, inshallah ta'ala, a full, refreshing sleep, especially when you tell yourself that, you know what, I'm going to be awake after Fajr, and anything that I need to do, I'm going to have so much time after Fajr. So I would, don't worry about going to bed. Instead, focus on getting up for Fajr. And then your body will naturally shut down towards the evening when it needs to go to sleep, inshallah ta'ala. Right now, you might be saying to yourself, I should force myself to go to bed. And the problem with that is that because we sleep in so long, right? So I'm just telling you, don't worry about when you go to bed. Focus instead on when to, or waking up for Fajr and making it a habit. Question, another sister from the UK is asking, what should one do with messages when that entails keeping tithe and fulfilling rights of your fellow Muslims? Jazakallah khairan. What should you do with your messages? Okay, I think you've taken messages to a whole different level where you're talking about keeping tithe and fulfilling rights of your fellow Muslims. And you might be talking, you know, just personally, you know, somebody messages you and another person messages you and a third person. If I have a circle of friends, I'll let them know how I work and encourage them to do the same. Like, you'd imagine these great scholars of Islam, if they had a friend who was wasting their time, do you think they're just going to sit quietly and let this person waste their time like that? I don't think so. They become a good friend, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hamilul misk, a person who spreads, you know, spreads perfume. So, for example, if someone comes to me at a conference and asks me this super long question, I'll say to them, you know, I need you to give me your question in 10 words or less. If they can't do it, I would say, brother, let me give you some advice. You're taking too long to talk, and you need to talk less. Let that be the advice that you get. Even if this is the first time I've met the person, I'll still give them that nasiha, that they're talking too much. And that's some of the best nasiha. I've been given that nasiha. What do you guys think? Do I talk too much? All right. That's what you need to do, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, a sister's asking a question. Can you explain what sisters should do to increase the barakah in their life during the time of Fajr? Should going to the masjid be an option? Now, I don't know where you're living. Well, obviously San Diego. But sometimes going to the masjid might not be feasible for everybody, might be far away, might be dangerous where they're living, and so on and so forth. If you're praying at home for the sisters, or if someone's in a situation like that, I would recommend that you follow up Fajr with some Quranic recitation. Maybe, you know, a half an hour of Quranic recitation, maybe some exercise. You have a treadmill, or you can walk around in a safe area to oxygenate your blood, like I said. If you do that and eat like a nice, healthy breakfast, then inshallah ta'ala, you'll get that feeling of, I can't go back to sleep. And even if you tried, you wouldn't be able to, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, there was about four or five questions about about the life coach. One of them from Baltimore was saying, where can you find a life coach? Another was asking, what do I mean by life coach or mentor? What kind of person? Do you mean a sheikh or somebody else? Someone else is saying, okay, I'm 37 years old, and I don't have any relatives near to me who can be my mentor. So those are different questions related to mentor. A mentor, here's the number thing. Discover You has mentors. I'm not saying that you have to sign up with one of our mentors or our life coaches. But this is what I would tell you to seek out in a mentor. Number one is that they need to have the skills to move you forward. In other words, if it's just like a friend of yours and you tell each other that, hey, you know what, I'll hold you accountable, you hold me accountable, and then 2 weeks later, nobody holds anybody accountable. It's not a commitment. It's not like a serious relationship. Sure, you're friends, but you don't care if you don't do your activity. So my recommendation is the mentor or the life coach should be somebody that you have some haiba. Haiba means like you have some, it's a serious relationship where you hold the person in high esteem, a person that if you were to come to them and say, you know what, I didn't complete my tasks, they would hold you accountable and you would be embarrassed to say that, right? You want to have a relationship with someone like that. And you can find them online. The nice thing about the Discover You life coaches is that they're Muslim. Same gender, alhamdulillah, and they're trained, and I've personally trained them, and I have my own Discover You Life coach that I pay myself. I pay them to coach me, and I do these coaching sessions like maybe 3 times a month in order to get the things I need done. It's not that they're telling me what to do, but they're holding me accountable and moving me forward, inshallah ta'ala, and it's what I'd recommend for you. All right, let's get back to the content. The question, this is kind of like, I had this question written down before, but some of you asked about it. And this is the question of, why do we procrastinate? What's the answer to that? Why is it that we procrastinate? So here are some reasons why things get procrastinated. Number one is, it may be that you don't have any exciting goals. So if a person is procrastinating something, it's usually something dull and boring. And there's like, obviously you procrastinate it. So people procrastinate, for example, clipping their nails because it's not really that exciting and stuff like that. But as soon as there's a big wedding going on, or they're going to meet a potential spouse or something, they'll clip their nails because there's some importance attached to it, okay? Now, some of the bigger projects, you might have a project that you actually don't really care about. You keep telling people, oh, I have this, you know, T-shirt project that has Dawah slogans on it or something like that that I want to launch, and you've been saying this for the last, like, 25 years and you never did it. It's probably because you don't really care about it. So if I'm coaching somebody, first thing I would do, if they're procrastinating, I would tell them, you know what, you probably don't even care about the goal. And they'll say to me, you know what, you're right. I don't say, okay, that's fine. Nobody said you have to do it. Just be honest with yourself, okay? And get some goals that you do care about, stuff that makes you want to jump out of your bed for Fajr. I said this actually on the blog. I said if your life is so boring, then this waking up to after Fajr doesn't work because – you won't wake up after Fajr because your life's so boring and you have no goals in your life. I'd rather go to sleep than live a boring life like that, right? Correct? So what you need to do is you need to get things going on in your life so that you can wake up in the morning exciting and refreshed and you want to get back into the game, inshallah ta'ala, all right? So get some goals that are exciting. Secondly, why we procrastinate is we don't actually know what we want. So when a person, like let's suppose in university, why does someone take so many years to complete? A 4-year degree takes them 7 years. Why? Because they don't actually know what they want with life. Why does someone continue to do a second degree and a third degree? Usually it's because they don't know what they want with life, so they're like, huh, I'm in university, so let me just continue because I don't know what I want to do with my life. Right? Number three, why we procrastinate, we don't know what we're actually dealing with, what the real problem is. So in other words, if a person is procrastinating starting a diet or they break a diet or something like that, the issue isn't that you need to know what type of diet foods are good for you and not. And whoever does, you know, it's like, hey, I know what foods are best for you, and they try giving you advice. The reason that it gets procrastinated or delayed or it doesn't work is because that's not what the real issue is. The real issue is that chocolate ice cream gives you love. That's what the real issue is. And if you take chocolate ice cream out of your life, then you have no love. Boo-hoo, wah-wah, right? As they say, you know, Ben and Jerry's. Do you guys know Ben and Jerry's? Like Haagen-Dazs and stuff like that. I don't like ice cream, by the way. But Ben and Jerry's, they say, you know, when people break up or they get a divorce and something, it's nothing that a bucket of Ben and Jerry's ice cream can't fix. Right, because they know why people eat their ice cream, why they pay extra money for it, because it gives them love. That's what they're actually dealing with. They don't love themselves, and they don't have a source of love other than this food. That's what the real issue is, right? So when you know what you're dealing with, then you can better take care of it, so you don't have to keep procrastinating and not getting at your destination. Number four, why we procrastinate or why we don't get our goals is that we might not know how to get there. So a person might know that this is the Dawah project that they want to start. They know what they're dealing with. Maybe, you know, they have problems delegating or maybe that whatever it is. They know what their problem is, but they still don't have a system on how to do it. They haven't been mentored. They haven't had the right teachers who told them what the proper system is. All right, so those are some of the reasons. How do you deal with it with all four of those? Number one, you get some exciting goals. Number two, you need to get very specific on what it is that you want. Number three, you need to know what you're really dealing with, right? So that you can deal with what you're dealing with. I have some techniques for that. That might be for like another event or something, inshallah ta'ala. Techniques on figuring out what's really wrong with you. And how to get there. One of the nice things about the Time Traveler series is that it's not a bunch of slogans. It's very specific techniques on how to specifically get to a destination, but that's not going to help you unless you do the activities and you implement it in your life, inshallah ta'ala. Another question that comes up is, don't we need some downtime? Downtime meaning that, you know, I've been talking about, oh, you know what, throw the TV out and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that sounds all nice, but nobody's going to go like 110% like a car. If you did that to a car where it's always driving at the highest velocity, it'll burn out. The gas will run out and you'll crash, right? So as human beings, we know the natural cycle is work and then sleep. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us. So even if you're going 110%, I'm actually telling you that when it comes time to break and have fun and distract yourself, I would say go 110%, have maximum downtime fun, right? Not just some cheap check your email fun, right? I'm talking about like real fun. What is real fun? Real fun is like finding, you know, a beach and going skidooing on the beach or something like that. And go swimming, something like incredibly fun and healthy and active and so on and so forth, and where your mind just completely cannot think of, you know, the stuff on your plate. An example of this is like throwing a ball around. If you're, you know, on a computer or something, you're working really hard, and then you stand up with a friend and throw a ball to them, your mind can't think of your problems and your stress. That's the type of thing of fun I'm talking about, where your mind shuts off. When I was studying in Medina University, this brother came from, you know, he was a new student, and he said to me, what should I bring? I told him, bring lots of copies of the Reader's Digest. And then he said to me, no, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I'm serious. I said, there's going to be so much studying going on that your brain, even at break times, won't be able to shut off. So what you need to do is bring some creative reading so that your brain can shut off, inshallah ta'ala, during that time, and, you know, it'll refresh you and so you can focus back on your studies. Okay. In conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, I wanted to maybe give you a few words about the Time Traveler series for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to encourage you. Number one is that the Time Traveler series, if you're looking to take advantage of it, take this to the next level, everything that I'm talking about in the Time Traveler series is something that I do for myself. There's nothing in there, I'm telling you, nothing that I've not implemented in my own life. Number two is that you've got to apply this with assignments and activities. And you'll find that with Time Traveler and Charlie Potter, you can't change your life academically. You've got to get down, take out a pen, and dump your brains out and put it into a proper system, inshallah ta'ala. The Live Your Dreams, or this Time Traveler series, is recorded and it's yours to own, meaning that you can keep going back to it again and again and again. Oftentimes people ask me, how often should I, you know, dump my brains and put it down on paper and go through these activities? I'm like, you know what? If it's every week, it's even worth it. Especially when you're beginning, you got to get that junk off of your mind and you got to put things back into control, inshallah ta'ala. So some of the things that you're going to be doing in the Time Traveler series, if you want to take it to next level, number one, is you're going to learn how to brain dump with a very specific task that will get everything off your mind, things that you didn't even know were on your mind. It'll take it off. Number two is that I'll give you a system on what to do with the things in your life, the things that you need to delete, but not the things that you need to delete. How do you put things into order? How do you file them quickly and efficiently so that you have a system to deal with stuff as it comes at you and you're not overwhelmed? When you've taken care of that, you need to paint a vision. So inshallah ta'ala, there's some visualization exercises which a person will like stand up while they're doing the activities with me, stand up and vision their future and see things that they've never seen before, and they'll actually have something to aim for. You'll also define your time in this program. So instead of just being a rocking horse, just going back and forth doing stuff, you want to see what type of things are you doing. Is it just a distraction, or is it fulfillment, or are you fooling yourself with what you're doing? Because some people do that. They do some activities where they're just fooling themselves that they're doing something important, but it's not even important. And the last thing that you'll learn from this, and actually and much, much more, is that you will aim higher. Nothing's going to change by you staying in your comfort zone. This is the first of, you know, my mentoring for you, inshallah ta'ala, taking care of the number one excuse that people have, the granddaddy of all excuses, which is I don't have enough time. You're going to have to change your life by doing something different, planting a new seed and aiming higher, inshallah ta'ala, becoming slightly uncomfortable. So if you're doing something right now towards managing and mastering your time that feels a little uncomfortable, then take it from me, you're on the right track. So number one, make the niyyah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this little nudge, hopefully it was a powerful nudge, has moved you to want to take something like this seriously and take action on it, bi-idhnillah, and the rest is your decision. It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish the best for you and your family in this dunya and in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the best of your intentions. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله